I think that's been a success on my part, you know, because I haven't. I just think I deal with him much better.
I think that's critical, and I think that's fabulous. Good for you for recognizing that you needed that and for honoring that for yourself. That's fabulous. Yay. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks.
Who wants to check in next? Oh, shoot. Before the next person checks in, hang on. Let me start the recording. Okay. The recording's on, and today is Friday, November 4th. Oh, my gosh. I know every time we do this, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's already November. Or, oh, my gosh, it's already December. November 4th, and this is the noon Eastern Time PSS group, and this week we're talking about parenting positively, and we're just doing check-ins right now. Go ahead, whoever was getting ready to go before I cut you off. So we got somebody from South Carolina.
Okay, this is Tina.
Hey, Tina.
Not South Carolina. I'm in North Carolina, but I have an
864
number. That's probably why it looks
there good. You go.
I'm usually
it's
in
not
the
always accurate, I think. That's okay. I'm in my Wednesday group,
so I'm piggybacking on
come
your
on.
Okay. I'm celebrating being done with some personal career successes that were large projects. So I guess that's good since I was self-care aiming for a little while. That's behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Had kind of a rough week with the child after not having rough weeks for a while, but I will celebrate the fact that I respond to it so much better and so much differently than I used to. I have really developed the skill of being able to be calm and look at my child as a person who has issues with his skills and not necessarily issues with me. So, I mean, I do think mm-hmm. it's something to celebrate that I'm able to take a look at that and not let it upset me quite as much.
I think that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you. We are also enlightened this week. It's fabulous. Who else is out there? I see somebody else in Georgia.
Hey, this is Pat from Atlanta.
Hey, Pat.
I have a 10-year-old son. Is this a celebration? Probably for us, we got back, we get a school folder every 2 weeks, and I think everything was good except math, but math is where we have our issues, so it wasn't fully unexpected. So overall, we're doing pretty well.
Good. Good. Thank you for that. Let's see. Anybody else joined us? I think that's everybody. Okay, cool. Let's go ahead and take aim. And also, just one quick reminder. Sorry. First of all, thank you for being here 2 weeks in a row. Those of you that were able to join both weeks, that's awesome. And I know it's a challenge. And that leads me to my next point, which is don't ever feel bad or feel like you have to let us know if you're not going to be able to attend or feel bad if you're not going to be able to make it to the group that you're scheduled to be at all the time. Just pick the one that works for you. We are ridiculously flexible. I had someone call me the other day, and she was panicked because she hadn't been able to attend for the past, you know, 4 or 5 sessions, and it's really not a big deal. Like I said, we designed the program for busy, busy people, and we're here when you need us. And you can always listen to the recordings. We have people who never dial into a live group. They just listen to the recordings all year. It is more fun, I think, if you can dial into a live group from time to time. But, you know, if you just can listen to the recordings and that's all you can do, that may be all you need. So please feel free to come whenever, go whenever. If you can join in listen only mode, just let me know so I don't keep trying to get you to talk. And if you have some follow-up questions, you know, just email us or text us or post something in the Facebook forum, and we'll be happy to answer them for you. So let's go back around and take aim. And just a quick reminder, when we take aim, we're taking aim on the change that we want to see. And so a lot of times that's going to be whatever's just kind of top of mind. Maybe you had a fight. We talked about this last week, I think, a fight with your spouse or your partner last night, or maybe you fell apart this morning or your kids fell apart this morning. Kind of whatever's top of mind may be what you want to take aim on for the purposes of this call, or it may not be. And it doesn't necessarily have to be related to the topic. So let's go back around real quick and everybody just take aim for me, and then we'll move into the teaching.
Okay, this is Sherry.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that about missing meetings, because I think I got confused with the emails and I missed last week, but I'll listen to the recording.
Don't worry about it. It's not unusual that we have it 2 weeks in a row. It happens maybe twice a year.
Okay.
But we scheduled it that way so that we can take Thanksgiving off. Because if we had Thanksgiving,
I like that idea. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. The majority of us would probably not dial in. Go ahead.
I want to take aim on, like the previous caller, my perception of who Isaiah is and what's happening and why he is the way he is and that.
So the change
thing
you want to see is you want to have a more positive perception,
yeah,
for him?
Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. I love that. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm a pretty positive person. Sorry, guys. I use a lot of fabulous and awesome because it's just how I'm put together. Cool. Teresa, you want to take aim?
Yeah. I've been taking aim at the homework, on his homework about, you know, just being more patient and finding ways to get it done. And I have seen a vast improvement. But, like, his attention span, as you know, is so short, I want to continue to take aim, you know, on making homework a smooth time.
Cool. That's a good one, and that's one that will last year round, maybe.
I hope
not, you know? Fabulous. Miss Tina, you want to go?
I'm not real sure where to take aim. I got a lot of things, but I got to pick one.
Sorry.
I don't know. I guess this week we had an issue where a senior in the school sold my son something that is illegal. So it was one of those my son who's 15, who's a freshman. And I guess he didn't see any. I found it. I thought it was a little MP3 player, but what do I know? I found it in his backpack. For accidentally, I guess it's something you breathe in. It's like an electronic cigarette kind of thing, but it doesn't have any tobacco. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like one of those vape things.
Yeah, a vapor. To which my son said to me, I really didn't know anything about him. I had to look it up. My son said, there's nothing in it. It's just water vapor, but there is actually nicotine in the water vapor. I don't even think my son knows. But he knew it was illegal. He knows you cannot do this. That is the thing. Which started into, I felt like as a parent, I ought to do something. He didn't get in trouble. He didn't get caught. I found this. But I don't know. I felt maybe I should take his PlayStation or whatever. That is his release. Well, that, of course, caused a serious meltdown and he was literally crying on the floor. Why do you take away the one thing that I'm good at, the one thing that makes me feel good about myself? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to kill myself? It was really ugly. He really just nobody likes me. It's all I can do. And it was just really tough to watch my son feel like his self-esteem is so terrible that he has to do these kinds of things or that he has to, you know, he says, people pick on me because I'm different. And I just don't know if I should be alive. I mean, it was just a really ugly thing. And I felt terrible for him, but I don't know what to take aim on. How do you say I want to take aim on increasing my child's self-esteem so that they make better decisions? That's a really big thing. I'm not real sure, you know, what to say. I really think I handled it fairly well. I mean, I didn't go crazy or call the school or anything like that. I didn't even yell. I was surprised.
That's good.
So I guess I don't know how to take aim on that, but I mean, there's really something inside of him that makes him make these decisions. It's not the actual action, you know. It goes deeper than that.
Right. Well, he has ADHD.
Yes, he does. And I don't, you know, I'm not real sure I don't want situations like that to happen again. I guess I need to take aim really on getting curious about, you know, finding out ways to help him. I also, do you need to talk to somebody? Do you, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to take aim on that.
No, you're doing a great job. I mean, I think you hit on it the first time. You're taking aim on it, and it's kind of a macro thing, you know, improving his self-esteem and his confidence. And I do have to ask you, and I just want to make sure that we touch on this briefly, because there are going to be times, or, you know, I hope that your child never goes through this, but I know in our house it's happened. I think it's happened in Diane's house and Elaine's house, where our children get upset and for whatever reason they throw out, do you want me to kill myself or I just want to die?
Right. Right.
And those are scary, scary things.
They are.
And so we don't ever want to take that lightly. I know you didn't.
Right.
You know, usually I mean, it kind of, you know your child better than anyone, so you know how to read the situation.
Right.
But always follow up with them when everyone's calmed down and see if they really are thinking about that, if they have a plan, and if they do, then you
yes.
need to
I'm a nurse practitioner, so I'm very
yeah, you know.
Well of, yeah, yeah. I know how to,
oh, yeah, and I wasn't saying that you
don't
weren't.
See any signs of suicide, of depression necessarily, though I'm a geriatric practitioner. I don't do teenagers. But I really, he gets up every morning. He's excited to go to school. I don't really see any
mm-hmm.
signs that, you know, I think for the most part, he's smiling and he's interactive. He doesn't put himself away. I don't really see any signs of, you know, really any depression. I did ask him outright, have you ever thought about actually killing yourself or anything? He's like, no. I really,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really think it's just a bad self-esteem. I don't, you know. I don't
right.
think.
No.
I just wanted to know.
I had thought
about that. Absolutely.
Oh, good. No, I knew that you had. I just meant more for purposes of everybody else on the call. Because when it happens, it's
yeah.
scary, you know, and it can be scary.
Yeah.
Like I say, you know your child better than anyone, and you know what questions to ask. It's just important that we ask the questions
sure.
and then move on. And if you're not sure what to do, then we always have the hotline numbers posted, on the website and in the chat rooms. So if you ever need to access those and get a little more, which I know you don't, Tina, but
actually,
if anyone
I didn't
else
know about the hotline number, so that's great to know.
Yeah. Those are always the numbers I can never find when you're like, I know we need to
yeah.
call someone, but I can't find the number. So we have them in there all the time.
Okay,
cool. Okay, so you sounds like you handled it really well, and I'm sorry that's going on, because that can be really scary.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it gets a little bit worse before it gets better. So my want and my hope is that you're on the cusp of a big leap forward with him, or he's on the
yeah.
leap, on the cusp of a big leap forward. All right. Kathy, I see you're here. You want to check in real quick and celebrate and take aim, or do you need to be on mute?
Hi.
Are
we celebrating anything?
You can celebrate something that's happened in the past 2 weeks, yep. And then take aim while you're at it so we can move on to the topic.
And what's the topic today?
Topic today is parenting positively.
Oh, marvelous. So I had a nice interaction with my daughter this morning. Or rather, I was able to recover from learning that she didn't actually have to be at school until an hour later. And so I canceled my exercise class, and I was prepared to drive her early because there's a SEPTA, a public transportation strike here in Philadelphia. So I was sort of doing my usual, I'm really frustrated, and that would have been good to know. And I was able to just calm down and say, well, it's good, you know, we're getting there early anyway, and traffic won't be as bad. And then I was able to say, you know, I love you so much. She goes, I said, do you know I love you so much? And she said, no. And I said, you should. I do. I don't have a good time. I don't do well showing it, but we're in my heart. And she said something snide, and I was like, troubles like now. But it was just a, you know, an interaction where it was nice to recover and not just harp on her the whole time to school. It's a half hour, so it would have been a long time. Taking aim. Parenting positively. I would like to make a better plan to interact with her, or to have something positive to say every day or every couple of days or every week, rather than just wait till I have the wherewithal to react positively. I think I have to figure out how to plan to have a positive interaction, or just be able to say, or have a goal, I guess, have a goal of some sort of positive parenting for her.
So you're taking aim on being a more positive parent?
I'm taking aim on having a place to be positive about. I feel like there are things I want for her, but it's all a big mass of, obviously, I expect you to interact well and blah, blah, blah. So I think I just I want to choose one place to work on positive reparenting. Does that make sense or work?
I think so. I think, yeah, we're taking aim on the change we want to see. So I think that that makes sense. And I'm having a tough time, I don't know if it's the connection or maybe it's my phone, but I'm having trouble understanding you. There's like a little buzz, but it could be me. Okay.
Sorry.
Cool. Who did I miss? Sherry, did you take aim?
I did.
All right, cool.
It's Pat. You didn't do me, but...
I need either Sherry or Pat. Sorry, Pat. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to take aim to make sure that my son gets the ability to give input to how he plans his activities and homework after school. So he has input of what may come first, and so he doesn't feel like he's being told how to do stuff that he has input of and choices.
So the change you want to see is incorporating him into the process? Am I capturing that accurately?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody change their minds? All right. Sweet. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and just jump into the topic real quick. This is one of my favorite topics. Like I said at the beginning of the call, I'm typically a positive person. And so I love being reminded that I need to stay positive. There's all kinds of research out there about the number of negative impressions and critical statements that our kids with ADHD or any type of challenge hear by the time they're 12. And it's some ridiculous number. It's like 20,000. I mean, and I may be exaggerating just a little bit, but it's a lot, right? It's a lot of correction, a lot of criticism, a lot of just negative self statements. And that doesn't even include the things they tell themselves, you know, in their heads. Going along with that is, you know, the positive psychology flip side, that you have to have something like 5-1. I've seen as high as like 8-1 ratio of positive comments to overcome one negative comment. And I don't know about you guys, but if I had to track myself over the course of a day and make sure that I was balancing every negative comment or every, you know, redirective or potentially critical comment with 6, 5, even, you know, 3, let's say, positive comments, I would feel pretty overwhelmed. But it's critically important, because the things that we say to our kids become what their inner voices are. And it's hard to remember. It's almost like that perspective shift that we were talking about. It's hard to remember that when they're melting down that it's not about us and it's not about them being disrespectful. It's about the fact that they just can't handle it right now. And so when we look at positive parenting or parenting positively, it sounds like we just need to be nicer or kinder, but it's about more than that. It's more about being compassionate and trying to understand where our kids are coming from. And really trying to approach them from a common ground and a place of positivity instead of a place of negativity. And so it can be really challenging. You know, there's times, even today already, you know, I get frustrated, like, really, you forgot that again? You know, I said it right by the front door. How did you walk right past it? And our kids can hear that as criticism, and it just starts to weigh on them. And I know that you guys have felt that way before, kind of like wearing a big, heavy winter coat and you're dragging me around with you all the time when you're just kind of steeped in negativity. And it feels so much better to take that coat off and be able to feel lighter and, I don't know, just feel that breeze on you and walk around not feeling quite so weighted down. And, you know, the things that we focus on are the things that grow. So look for ways to catch your kids being good. I know that's kind of a common catchphrase now. But it still rings true. And if you notice something in the morning, or if you think of something during the day that they did in the morning, it's never too late to give them compliments or praise. They always just soak it up like sponges, even if, particularly with the teenagers, they don't act like they hear you, or they may be like, oh, God, Mom, but they hear you. And so it's still important to say it, even if they act like they don't want you to say things that are nice or compliments that they think are cheesy or silly. Say them anyway, because they do sink in. So what's coming up for you guys? Areas that are challenging to be a positive parent, or things that have worked really well? Feel free to jump in and share.
This is Tina. I just wanted to say it's you really have to remind yourself sometime, especially even if you didn't overreact at the moment in this particular situation, say, it was still later afterward that I was still really mad inside because he said some really ugly things to me as well as my being hurt about how he felt about himself. And even though I know not to take it personally, and even though I know he's just saying that, and yesterday he came into me and I was still really upset and although I'm perfectly saying them the things I need to, I don't feel lovey-dovey, frankly. And so I'm just like not really interacting a whole lot because it's difficult for me to be sort of, I just needed some time to get over it. You know, I just,
right.
I know I will. I just need a little time.
Yeah.
But he came in there yesterday and said, Mom, I can tell you're still upset about what I said yesterday. And very sincerely touched my arm. So I would turn around and quit what I was doing and said, I just want you to know that our relationship means a lot to me and I want us to have a good relationship and I'm really sorry.
Oh my
and it
gosh.
Was sincere. It was really sincere.
Wow.
It made me feel terrible because I was sort of seizing like an immature person, you know, just, and sometimes we have to consciously remind ourselves to do these things or look for these things and say these things, even when we don't feel, you know, maybe when we don't feel it inside, we know eventually we will feel that way, and to try to stay positive. And it's just not easy is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you have to make a conscious effort to look back over this material. That's what I did, and remind myself of what his issues are, what his challenges are, why he does and says the things that he does. I have to really pick up my notebook and reread it to remind myself of, you know, what I'm dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah, you're so
and
right.
Not take
you're
it personally.
So right. It's easy.
You have to do actively. It's not easy.
No, not at all. But how often is that? I don't know of many kids your son's age that would have the self-awareness to come up and the kindness and the kind heart, you know, to recognize that.
It was truly sincere.
And
it melted me.
That
I
is
felt
so
terrible.
Powerful. No, I think that's beautiful, though. I think it's beautiful. Oh, that's wonderful. You're right, and it's hard. It becomes a habit. You know, we get, without even realizing it sometimes, I think we get stuck in sort of this negative mindset, and you don't even notice the amount of things that come out of our mouths, even if they're neutral. Like you said, even if you don't yell or scream, you know, they may be less than positive. And I'm not saying we all need
to be. Or just not there at all when they usually are. Yeah.
That's good. And I love that you recognize, you know, when you're triggered or when we're triggered, it is pretty much impossible to parent positively or to be the parent that we want to be, because when we're flooded with emotions, there's just no way to access that rational brain. And so that's why I think we talk about it next week or in the next session, about removing yourself from recognizing that you're triggered and removing yourself from the situation and kind of getting yourself back to calm and figure out what you were telling yourself in your head that made you so upset. And then figure out a different way to look at it, that perspective shift that makes all the difference and gives us really the freedom and the ability to come back from a place of positivity than stay in sort of that lizard brain of fight or flight or, you know, to some extent worse, you know, that kind of feeling of, I like the word dysthymia because it's just kind of that feeling of meh.
That's a good word
never
for
getting
it.
To, yeah. And again, I don't think we need to be like, you know, dorky, happy, unicorn, rainbow people all the time. But sincerity, like you said. I like that. Who else wants to chime in on positive parenting or the ratio or things that you do to remind yourself to be positive or stay positive?
It's Sherry again.
Hi, Sherry.
I just think that was a remarkable interaction. With a teenage boy who was very upset and said mean things, and that his mom was able to come back with love and apology, and boy, that's really, really hard to do, I know. And I find that I'm getting into my dungeon of resentment when things happen.
Resentment.
Because
say that again.
resentment first,
the dungeon of resentment.
Yeah, okay. And that I have to keep doing this.
you know, when I raised my own child, I didn't even think about this stuff. But now I have to think about this like every minute of every day. And I resent mm-hmm. that. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because we came by to have Isaiah in our lives, not by our original choice. It was by kind of default. Yes, we said we would take him, and yes, we're glad to have him most of the time. But it's completely changed our lives. And I just find myself saying, why do I have to keep doing this? Why is this?
Mm-hmm.
So I get in that that dark place, and
sure.
and it's hard to come out of it. And I'll tell you, I'm reading the workbook on the paragraph number 3, and boy, they are so sensitive. They are sensitive to a look on your face, the way your mouth is, the hunch of your shoulders. They know when you're upset, and it's really hard to shake it off and come back to make everything better. That's not to say, you know, you don't share what's gone wrong and you don't apologize or you don't say, yes, I am upset with you. But, boy, they pick up on it like crazy, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Once you shift that, then happiness can be felt. So it's really been a struggle.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hopefully next week you'll tell me how to do it better.
Well, I think you're
next
doing
call
already.
Sounds like what I need.
But I think just by being here, you know, you're already, you know, you there's so many things I want to touch on there, and I don't want to overwhelm you. But there's
oh, that's all right.
Know.
Go ahead.
I mean,
go ahead. Overwhelm.
You know, it's okay. I mean, there's such a thing as justifiable anger or justifiable resentment. You know, I mean, it's okay to grieve a bit and to say. Those are all valid emotions, you know. That you know, we have a 2-year-old, we have a surprise child, and there are mornings when I'm like, oh my God, why am I doing this again?
You know?
And I love him, and he's wonderful, and I love all my kids, but it's okay to feel that because you're human. It's what you do next, right? It's that.
Yeah.
Either someone told me once, okay, you know, you can stay on your pity pot for, you know, 5 more minutes, and then after that, let's move on to the next thing. And so, you know, I try to do that, and or I talk to someone else. You know, getting outside of your head can sometimes help too. But there's nothing wrong with acknowledging, recognizing the struggle and the challenges that you're facing again. You know, whether you wanted to go through it or not kind of is irrelevant at this point because you're there, right? And you've made the decision to move ahead. And Diane asked me once how it was helping me to to get cranky about, you know, having to do all the toddler stuff again. And it doesn't help at all. It really doesn't.
No. Nope.
But it makes me feel better in the moment. Feel hurt.
Sometimes you just got to whine, right?
Yeah. But is it possible to set a limit on? Some people can't let it go after 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
No, a little bit longer to kind of ruminate on it.
I can let it go. It's just that, you know, when the sucker punch comes, it's like somehow in my fantasy I thought, oh, well, like what I was celebrating. I'm just waiting for the other foot, the other shoe to drop that, you know, like you say, consequences don't always work. Well, what's going to happen today? It's like, you know,
right?
I'm in a constant state of heightened attention because what's going to come up this time? You know, so it's...
Yeah. No, I get it. And it's draining. You know, there's even, I think one of the articles we shared this week on Facebook was about the power of, or the toxicity of negativity and how staying in a negative mindset and staying around negative people, you know, just breeds more negativity and how it literally is killing people by, you know, diminishing our immune systems and having us produce, you know, hormones that aren't really conducive to leading a healthy lifestyle. And, it's hard to get outside of that. It really is. But you're right. It's it can be toxic.
That's what I'm taking aim on. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
That's why it's.
And sometimes it's just a matter.
Fake it till you make it, right?
Fake it till you make it. That's right. That's right. Your kids will probably know that you're not being 100% sincere. Sorry, I'm. Yeah, my stutter is back today. 100% sincere. but they, I mean, the words themselves make a difference too. What are some other strategies? Jump in, folks, if there's something that you do to get yourself out of a negative place. And I'm not talking like, you know, depression or, you know, things that require other assistance, just, you know, the kind of the meh feeling. How do you get back to a place of positivity?
This is Teresa, and I can relate to her because, I mean, we had an empty nest for 4 years, and then we got a 2- and 3-year-old, and both of them had been neglected. So, I mean,
wow.
So one of them even ended up with an open-heart surgery, and, I mean, we were really, I mean, for the first year that we had them, I mean, it was like constant doctor's visits, and, I mean, 24/7 care, you know, and one of them had medicine every few hours during the night, so he was up all the time. You know, so it really was. I mean, I can understand how she felt because here I am, you know, I'm 60 and I'm raising kids and all my friends are going on vacations, you know, and doing their thing. And here I am, you know, I'm hunting babysitters to go anywhere, you know. So it's a whole nother world. But, you know, a lot of times I just, you know, write down the positive things about, you know, where would they be now? I mean, you know, one of ours wouldn't even be alive. But, you know, about I just try to think of, you know, what I'm gaining, what I'm seeing that, you know, I'm just trying to look at the small blessings and where they were when we got them to where they are now. I mean, I raised a daughter who was gifted, and then to come up with one that's ADHD, you know, with a learning disability, was like, oh, my gosh, this is shock to my system, you know. I had no idea there was even the information available, you know, that there is now until I got into this group, you know. And, I mean, you know, even that in itself is a blessing to have, you know, I'm not the only person out there dealing with this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. It's Sherry again, and thank you, because, you know, this might sound awful to say, but you have it worse than I do. We just have one, and he's older.
Oh, gosh. Very critically ill children.
Well, kudos to all of us who are of a certain age, which my husband and I are, who have undertaken these tasks, and sometimes it feels like you're just, you know, pushing the rock uphill only to have it fall back down again. But I do try to find, you know, we frequently look at each other and say, well, look at this baby step. We just made a baby step.
Yeah.
One thing at a time.
You know, and people aren't lining up to push the rock up the hill, guys. And so what's incredible is that you get back in line, you know. I mean, you get up and you keep pushing the rock because no one else is there. And that in and of itself is absolutely commendable, phenomenal. You know, thank you for being there for those kids because nobody else was.
I remember one of my things that I thought was a great goal in life was when I got to sleep through the night again for one time, you know.
There you go.
That's so funny. Yeah, sleep is always at a premium. All right. Tina, Miss Sherry, it was you, the sensitivity in paragraph 3? Yeah. So one of the things, you just reminded me of something else that a lot of people with ADHD have, and we don't even realize it. It's called rejection-sensitive dysphoria, and it only occurs in ADHD. It's really fascinating stuff, but it makes people who have ADHD hypersensitive to either perceived rejection in criticism or actual rejection in criticism. So even, you know, a comment that's delivered in a neutral tone of voice that, you know, may on the face of it not appear to be critical, the way that it's said or the expression on the person's face when it's said, if the person with ADHD either misreads it or, you know, lends an innuendo to it that may or may not be there, they take it completely out of context, and blow it completely out of proportion. You know, it just becomes this huge, paralyzing thing. And that's another thing that goes in with that intensity of our kids' meltdowns, that fear or that perceived rejection or criticism just floods them completely. And until they get to a place where they can learn to manage it, it's impossible, truly impossible. And you see this in adults, too, probably, that you may not have even realized, where people who have, like, that hair trigger temper, that just completely blow things out of proportion, and you're like, how on earth did you get that from that? Or why would you think I was mad at you? Very common in adults with ADHD also.
Can you say the name of that again, rejection?
Yeah, rejection sensitive dysphoria. There's a great article in Attention magazine this month about it. Let me find it. I'll put it in the forum. It explains a lot.
Do you know if there's a specific behavioral therapy for that? Because if I could put like I said to my son, I see you have a zero because we get reports every 2 weeks. You had a B in science and you didn't turn in three things and now you have like a D. And what he heard was, you think I'm stupid and I'm never going to be able to. I mean, it was like, whoa. So definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isaiah had the same reaction. That was one of his blow-ups of school. They have a special progress report daily for him where you get a one or a two. No, you get a one for okay and a three for really good and a zero if there was some behavior that didn't meet up to, you know, what's on the list. And he blew up because he was getting threes, I think, because he didn't understand. And it was like, No, that's a good thing. The one is the good thing. so that sounds like perfect description of his reaction to things like that.
It's an eye-opener.
I will have to read more about that.
Yeah, here, I'm going to piss. There's one, Attitude Magazine had one. It's not as good as the Attention Magazine one. I'll see if I can't scan that one in. I think you have to buy the subscription or something to see it. But it's so good. I want to make sure everybody sees it.
Here. Please do.
Yeah. All right. Who else wants to share about, positive parenting, either how hard it is or things that have worked for you in the past? Gratitude lists. That's something I heard. Remembering that story of the wolf. That's still my favorite. You know, the wolf you feed is the one that grows. So the more you focus on the positive stuff, the more likely you are to see positive stuff.
This is Teresa again, and I'll be talking about, you know, positive parenting, and, you know, and I try to do it, but I think it's something that you have to, I mean, it is something you have to do all the time with an ADHD kid, and sometimes you're in a hurry or it's just what's in the moment, and it's just hard to remember, be positive, you know, like, man, if his older brother does something, you know, and, well, why did Hunter always get to do that? And y'all pick on me. Well, it's not even anything to do with that. And you just want to try to just hush, and let's go. And I mean, it's like I have to think, you can't say that. He needs a reason or, you know, turn it around or something. I just think it's something that's got to be forced in the front of your mind all the time. And it's hard to keep it in the front of your mind all the time.
It
you
is.
Know?
Because you're human. Yeah. You're human, it is hard. And we all have, you know, good days and bad days. And sometimes it's just a matter, I mean, if the best we can do is just pause, you know, and just and not attend the fight that you were invited to, take a step back, and that's a success. You know, if you're unable to say something positive, if you can just not say or take a step back, sometimes that's the most we can hope for.
And that's what I try for, but, you know, sometimes myself comes out in that, too.
Oh, for sure. You know, and again, we're all human, and it's no one's looking for perfection, you know, because it's impossible. But the more we try, the more we keep getting, you know, and these are all things that you can, you know, see in happy little cheesy pictures or plaques or whatever works for you. I love those things. I've got little inspirational quotes hanging all over the place. The more we remind ourselves of that, the more likely we are to continue to at least find the space to pause or to make positivity a habit instead of negativity.
Personally,
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what I find really interesting is, as you're talking, that I have ADHD, and so I have ADD, and so in looking at the interaction with my daughter, especially, that I can see how we both feel rejected and we both feel unable to recover. And we so when my medication wears off, I definitely I think it's an interesting sort of twist or bit of understanding for the times when we're both sort of unresourced, because then we're both really deeply hurt over really not significant things. And it's a good reminder. And then as you're talking, I can't remember. I feel like the ratio is like 20 to 1 of negative correction and versus positive stuff, because either I don't notice or I don't, or there isn't positive stuff. So what do you do to, I mean, are you making up positive stuff? Like, isn't this a great day? Or are you trying to set up positive things that they can do? Because I feel like anytime I, you know, encourage participation or interaction or contribution, it's not fun or productive, and therefore it just leads to more negative stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes, I mean, I don't think I'm making up things. I think sometimes it's just a matter of thinking back and looking at where we're at now. And, you know, we talked about baby steps or seeing how far we've come, or, you know, just recognizing the little things that our kids are doing as they move towards independence or self-expression, positive self-expression, or just ways to advocate for themselves, or recognizing that they've made, you know, just looking for things that are better in some way and commenting on that can be, you know, it's just a good place to start. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one time my son, when he was younger and he'd lose his temper, he would say, you know, he might actually pick up something and throw it, but now he wouldn't. So to me, it might not be a compliment for any other person to say to their child, wow, you just yelled, but you didn't pick up anything and throw it, or you didn't. But to me, that's bringing up something good. I'm like, look how far you've come. You didn't even think about picking up something to throw it. Look how much you've controlled yourself. Now, we got to get a hold of the verbal, but we have a hold of the physical. We've made a lot of progress. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like a comment, but you find things like you can just point out the progress, you know, that you've made toward a goal, you know, even if it's small.
Yes. I love that. So true. My up until third grade, I literally dressed him in bed. I got him. He could not get him out of bed in the morning, and we had a tight timeline. I would dress him in bed, and you know, in fourth grade, he was dressing himself, and that was huge. And that was something I could compliment him on almost every day, because we'd come a long way.
Because I'm thinking that's one thing. So you say it every time. Like, I guess I'm thinking.
I think you just really have to get creative about looking at
things. I can't remember. So how, if we want our kids, I mean, I don't know how this can help you, but and maybe it can help you if your kids have ADD, how they're going to remember to be positive. But like, how do I remember to look for positive things? How do I remember to, you know, like, how do I remember to read the workbook and see the list and remember it's important and, you know, come up with something? How do you, is there a way, and is there research to, like, foster positivity that's not created by somebody who can't create it because I have ADD? So is there, you know, is there sort of like a perspective shift that's, like, what's going to remind you, or what's going to keep you looking for positive stuff?
Well, I think that's up to
because
you.
Because the ADD brain
some...
is looking for negative stuff, right? It's looking
well, the
for,
ADD
it's,
brain it's... is looking for stuff.
The ADD brain is looking for activation. It's looking for something interesting to hold on to. And if it can find something positive to hold on to, all the better than holding on to something negative. And so, you know, whatever you use to activate your brain typically, Kathy, like, you know, some people use post-it notes or inspirational quotes or reminders on their phones or, you know, breaks, whatever your brain will grab onto, see if you can't find a method or a tool in that to help spur you to remember or notice the positive things. And maybe it's making yourself write a list every day, one thing that each child did that was great or that was commendable, and then saying it the next day. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be that day or in the moment, because they'll take praise anytime. Does that make sense?
Yep. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. So we got about 8 minutes left, and I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to check out. And so we will be meeting again in 2 weeks, not next week. We have next week off. We'll actually be in Costa Mesa, California for the CHAD conference. I don't know if any of you guys are coming. It's the International Conference on ADHD, and it's always really well attended. Lots of great, fabulous experts and key thought leaders on ADHD will be there, and we will be probably doing some live stuff on Facebook and Twitter as well, if you're not able to make it out there and say hi. But if you are going to be there, please come by the exhibit hall and say hi. Otherwise, we'll be meeting 2 weeks from today. And you'll get the information in your Monday members message. So you've got all that if you need it. I think the topic for the next week is shifting perspectives, which is a pretty powerful one as well. And so let's go ahead and do our quick checkout. And our checkout is, you know, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What was my aha or takeaway today? And remember, you don't have to have like an Oprah aha. It can just be a, I hadn't thought about that, or a, it was great to be reminded of that. And then what is a specific action step that you are willing to take? Could be a baby step, and do you have what you need to set yourself up for success with that action? So let me say them again, and then whoever's ready can just jump in. So it's, what did I think about or focus on most today? What was my aha or takeaway today? What is an action step I'm willing to take, and what do I need to set myself up for success with that action? Jump in whenever you're ready to go.
Okay, I'll jump in. This is Sherry again. I think I focused on how hard this is for everybody who's trying to do it, that staying positive is quite difficult, especially when your child or your ward or whoever you're taking care of is acting up, and that we're not alone in finding this difficult.
Yeah.
And I guess my takeaway is actually I'm going to look that disorder up, because that's a source of a lot of this problem we're having, I think, the rejection sensitive dysphoria. And if I could feel more positive about that, That'll take me a long way. Well, and you talk about changing perspective. If I change my perspective, it's like, he's just such a brat sometimes, to, well, this is a disorder that he's got, and there's something we can do about it. That could go a long way to improving my positivity. So that's my action step, that I'm going to start doing more research and hopefully see the article and, and is that setting myself up for success?
I think that
also
is.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that's it for me.
Yeah. Who else?
I'll go. I guess my aha moment is probably, too, I've read this once before about rejection and sensitive dysphoria, but I read through this whole article on guaifenesin used to treat it, and I sort of dismissed it because my son tried guaifenesin, and it dropped his blood pressure, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
So I was like, eh. So I was just kind of...
It worked great for my son, so.
Well, Well, you know, I guess it just maybe it's worth trying again now that he's older. But I do think that was a little
every kid's different. That's the
That you know, that I would probably need to do a little more research, especially if there's any sort of behavioral therapy involved, you know, with it, or if it's in the up and coming thing to watch. But as far as the lesson itself goes, I think just reminding myself just the saying that you say, these cliche sort of things that we say, those things kind of work for me. They stick with me. Whatever you feed is what's going to grow. And I think I do tend to stay focused on the steps to get to places instead of how far we've come sometimes. I just need to actively remind myself to look for that. I even thought about setting a reminder on my phone every day that says, have you been positive today, at least in one way, like at the end of the day.
I love that.
Because I have one that at the end of the day or a certain time of day, it says, have you prayed yet today? Because I'm a prayerful person. So it may be, did I go through this whole day without praying? And so I have it, and it works well for me. So I think I just need to do the same thing for my son, set a reminder and said, are you being positive today? Did you find at least one good thing? Just to remind myself that if I'm stuck in a rut.
I like it. And that's easy to do, right? It's no trouble to set the reminder on your phone.
It's easy to do.
That's what you need to be successful there.
Yeah,
all right.
I think
awesome.
So. Thanks, Tim.
Yay. Thank you. Who's up next?
This is Teresa. I'll go next. I also think I did not, the disorder, that was a new to me. So that was one that really, you know, hit home. That was my aha moment that I see the things that could be related to this disorder. And I really didn't even know it existed. And I think what I'm going to focus on and try to do is also the more positive. I always, you know, look for the positive in everything.
Mhm. Good. How are you going to do that?
I might do like she did, make me a little reminder on my phone.
There you go.
That works. Awesome.
This is Pat. I think, like everybody else, this is a reminder of how we have to ignore, I call it, the noise coming from our children. A lot of talking and not always nice things because they're just frustrated and they don't know any other way to express it. So I just need to ignore some of the stuff he says and, you know, try and just overlook it and look for the positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are you going to do that?
I'm just going to start ignoring the stuff he's saying negative and just turn it around and move on. Because, you know, all he's going to do is trigger me, and I just need to not get triggered.
Right. Okay, cool. We got a couple left. Let's see if we can't get everybody.
I've literally been putting notes throughout the day on my phone saying 6-1 for the ratio because I think that's really powerful. I can't even think of 6 positive things, and there's definitely been more than one negative thing that I've said recently. So I think it's going to take some work. And then I put some on for myself too. I feel like I've read somewhere that writing a thank you note or a positive note or a nice note to somebody fosters sort of that, I don't know if it's increased happiness or positivity, as well as I think 3 things that you're thankful for every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I want to just take aim on myself, and then I put reminders to text my children because I think texting them instead of talking to them, mm-hmm. particularly Kate, is more effective than trying to say something positive, which ends up fighting. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that answers all your questions, but that's all I got. Thank you.
Well, that's good. So it's always okay to set yourself up for success by just starting with 1 or 2 things per day, and then increase from there because you want to make it a habit. And then the more it becomes habitual, the easier it's going to be to recognize positive things during the day. So just a friendly reminder on that one. Who are we missing? Who hasn't checked out yet? Okay, last chance. All right, guys, you're awesome. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful couple weeks. Don't hesitate to holler if you need us for any reason. Post in the forum. Let us know how things are going. Tag us if you need us to answer or if you want to hear from us. But otherwise, have a great day and a great weekend. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.